God, His Word. And it's so interesting that I like, God, I don't have this yet. And then He gives me a scripture and He says, okay, I want you to speak about this at the service. Psst, psst, psst. Is that okay? Does it only irritate you? Ach, me? Or does it irritate you too? Okay, it's fine. And I was like, yeah, that's an awesome scripture. I can't wait to, you know, read it and see what is God saying about the scripture. And then I realized God caught me there. He's talking to me about the same thing again. And you know, when you have to prepare a sermon, you really have to dig in. So God was actually talking to me, saying to me, you need to get this, what I'm talking to you about. Anyways, let's read the scripture. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at his knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. And Jesus said to him, do not be afraid, for now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Don't you just love the word? Isn't it just incredible reading that? Whoa, it's small. Okay. It's so full of life. Do you agree with me? You know, sometimes we read the story and we're like, wow, Jesus was amazing. But we forget that Jesus is still amazing. That word there wasn't just like 2,000 years ago. That word now is for now. It is true in our lives where we are now. And we forget that sometimes. You know, I read the word and I'm just like, I need to read this amount of chapters today. Let me just get through it. But I miss that Jesus is saying to me, this is my word. What does John 1 say? Jesus is the word. Okay, so if Jesus is the word, I want to know the word. Why? Because then I get to know Jesus. God spoke to me about this beginning of the year, and I was just like offended. I actually felt God said to me, blah, blah, I'm just going to blah, 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 get it all out, and then I'll continue. I felt God say to me that if you love Jesus, the amount that you love Jesus is the amount of time you spend in the Word. I said, no, Lord, I love you. I didn't read much word then. So that's why I was offended. The Lord said to me, I want you to spend more time in my word because you, lady, need to get to know me. You can't just know me by revelations and other things. You need to know my truth. And my word is my truth. Sit in my word. Read my word. You know what? The word says, those who seek him will find him if they seek him with all his heart, or with all your heart. So I always have been trying to, I see God. I see God. I said, Lord, I want more of you. Lord, I seek you. I want to see you, Lord. With all my heart, I'm coming. But if the Lord tells me, go read the word, but I'm like, ugh. Lord says, seek me in my word. I want to show you who I am. In my word, the Bible, the truth. Do you agree with me? Do we feel a bit convicted? Because I am. It was amazing. This week in small group, we were meditating on like five verses in the Bible. Okay, now meditating on the word doesn't mean zzz, you know, that kind of meditating. Meditating on the word means you read it over and over and over again. Okay, you think about it. You're like, what does this word mean? Where do we go from that? You think about it. You know, and I think we were like doing it for 15 minutes. And all of us had like different revelations. Like, what is this? And we're talking about it. And we're like, oh, God's love and this and this and this. And I think God is like, do it more. Spend time in my word more. Talk about my word more. You know, not just revelations and all that stuff, but my truth. You know, because my truth is life and it gives life. Even the worship songs that we sing, I just feel God say, sing my truth, sing my words, my scripture. Because I want to be manifested among you. And the word of Jesus came and was made flesh. The word was made flesh through Jesus. So if we speak the word, Jesus is there. He comes and he brings life. Okay, so let's go to the next verse. Hebrews 4, verse 12 to 13. For the word of God is living and active. Guys, it's not a dead book. Although sometimes it feels like I'm the dead one, actually. But this is alive and active. God wants this book, which is very heavy, to be alive and active in your lives. What does it say? Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of your heart. So if I want to know God, I need to read the scriptures, not only to know him, but for me to change. We were reading those five scriptures. I was like, I'm convicted. I don't even know how we got to it. Who was it, Tenji or Mpumi? They shared something. And what they shared was like phenomenal for me. I realized that I have to love people first. Never thought about it like that. I always, you know, just want to love, but God says, love them first. No matter if they love you, no matter, you know, what they do for you, just love people because that's what Jesus did. I always just thought I must love. And, you know, if I don't really interest in them, then I just go on to the next one. No! Love my people. Love them first. That's not part of the sermon. But when last did you love someone with everything and didn't expect anything in return? God spoke to me powerfully through five verses out of the whole word. Just think how much more God wants to speak to us through his word. Okay, but let me get back to what I want to speak about. When we look at the story about Peter, Peter is washing his nets. Now we know he's been working the whole night, trying to catch fish. Now, apparently, in that time in Galilee, the Sea of Galilee where they were, they knew, the fishermen, that they had to catch fish in night. That's the time when you will bring in the most fish, not during the day. I'm not a fisherman, so I don't know. But that is apparently how it was. So they were spending the whole night trying to catch fish. So I would imagine if you are the whole night busy, you will be tired. I don't know about you, if you're like, maybe the doctors, they have like energy, you know, they can spend the whole night and be fine the next day. But they're sitting there, Peter, cleaning his nets, like, if I'm him, I will be like discouraged, no fish, you know. And here comes Jesus. And Jesus doesn't say, Peter, may I get into your boat? No, Jesus just gets into his boat. Did you notice that? And it's so interesting. Reading the word, I stopped there. I said, Lord, wait. What's happening here? Now they're catching a lot of fish and so on. I thought you just called them and they just followed you. You know? Have you read that scripture in Mark and Matthew? Jesus walks past, they're fishing. He says, come, follow me. This can't be the same thing, is it? And I went to do a bit of research, and it's not. Before that, Jesus called them. They walked a bit with Jesus, and then they went back to the boat. You can go see, it's total different situations. So, Peter already knew Jesus. That's why Jesus can just, you know, walk into his boat. He's welcome. He knows he can just go. And he says to Peter, listen, Peter, just put out the boat a bit from the land. Now, again, Peter's busy. Peter doesn't say, oh, Lord, I'm tired. He just comes, moves the boat a bit, And there Jesus sits on his boat and he starts to teach the multitude that's there. Now that, there I want to stop. I'm like, whoa, incredible. Do I allow Jesus just to come into my boat whenever he wants to? You know, in every situation, no matter how tired I am, no matter where I've been that day or the night before. Or do I say, wait, Lord, I'm busy washing here, I'm tired. Do you know that I've worked all night? But because Peter knew Jesus and he had a relationship with him, he said, you don't even worry about Jesus just coming in. Another profound thing is that the boat is sort of Peter's business, isn't it? Sort of his identity. It's sort of like what he lives for. Would you agree with me? And he totally allows Jesus to come and from that business, from his life, teach out. I think God wants us to open so that from our lives he wants to start teaching. We don't even have to do anything. We just allow him in on our boats. Then the next step, what happens? And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for catch. What a simple command. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. Amazing. When I read that scripture, I just stopped there. You know, it goes on. But I'm like, Lord, I'm stuck here. What does this part mean? And because God has been speaking to me a lot about obedience, and we had so many words the last while about obedience and following God's word, I was like, man, it means I must just be obedient. Just like that. God wants obedience from me now. You know? Peter just threw out his nets. He just went and he threw out his nets. He was just obedient. But I missed something there. I missed that Jesus said to him, put into the deep and lay down your nets for catch. Jesus said to him, you're going to catch something. In other words, you know, when Peter, we must also look at Peter's attitude. He didn't say, Lord, I toiled all night, really? You know, you want me to put out my nets now, go out into the deep again? That, Lord, it's actually day now. The fishes don't come at daytime. You know, I don't know how that works, but apparently that's how it works. Maybe they go deep. Anyways. But what he says, Master. That's how he responds. Master. In other words, I greatly, you know, respect you. Master. We've toiled all night and we didn't catch anything. But at your word, we will let it down. At your word. And what I got from that is like, because it's you that said that, and I know you, I will do it. I believe because you said that I will catch something, I will do it because I believe in you. I've walked with you a little bit already. I've seen who you are. And therefore, Lord, I will do it. I believe in you. So God was saying to me, I don't just want obedience from you. I want you to believe in me. You know what? We went around on campus this week. I actually want to encourage you just to do it. Come with me. Yo, I just saw God speaking into people's lives like crazy. And how he wants people to come to him. The first question we ask people is, do you believe in God? It's a good question to ask. To start a conversation. Because some will say, no. And then you talk to them a bit and then you find out they actually do believe in God. They got hurt or something happened. Or some will say, yes. You know, and then we realize, but they believe in God, but they actually haven't been following him. They actually haven't been following what he says in the word for us to do. Like, you know, I can believe in God, but I can be busy with the things of the world. Okay? But that's not what we're talking about here. For those people, they have to be obedient and say, Lord, I'm coming back to you. Obedience is so important to us to do If God says go, we go. But God spoke to me, he said to me, you know what? I don't want you just to be obedient as my children. I want you to believe. And I want you to believe in my word. You know, this word, it's truth. And Jesus is calling us to start believing in his word again. Not in the preacher, not in the church, not in my friend, not in my, you know, lecture or whatever, but to believe in the truth. No matter who preaches, guys, always measure it with the truth. What does the word say? You know, you can sit here and listen to me today, but go and say, Lord, is that your truth? God says he wants us to believe in his truth, which is the word of God. Let's look at this, the rich ruler. And a ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And we heard that so nicely this morning. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And you know, when I read that scripture, I was like, okay, Lord, you say to us we must be obedient. So probably you said that to him to go sell all his things so that you will just test if he's obedient in everything. And then the Lord's like, no, I want him to believe in me, not just be obedient to me. That when I say, go sell all your things, you will have great treasures in heaven. You must say, you know what, Lord? If you say this, I want to do it. Because I believe that it's true. I believe that there is your word. I believe because I know you, I want to do it. Do you get this? Does it make sense? Is it coming into your hearts? You know what God said to me? He said to me, Merichin, when you read my word, you know it in your mind. I want it to come to your heart. It doesn't help you knowing everything, knowing the scriptures. You know, that when you talk to someone, you can give them the right answers. But you haven't allowed it into your heart to come and transform you. You know, because we can be obedient to the word. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with it. We should be obedient. We should honor our father and our mother. But what does the scripture say after that? So that you will have a long life. Lord, I believe that. I believe that if I honor my mother and my father, I will have a long life. Does it make sense to you? I'm not just obedient to it because I have to, but also because I believe your promise, who you are, because you said it, it will be true. We have to take that word and let it transform our hearts. You know what? Because Jesus wants to transform us. He wants to. He so wants to. I always get stuck in the scripture, or not always. I'm this year stuck in the scripture in Psalm 1. Delight in the Lord of all your heart. Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. What does it say then? He will be like a tree planted by the rivers who will bear fruit in season. His leaves will not wither, and all that he do, he will prosper. Saying, Lord, I love you. I believe in you. If I delight in your laws, if I walk in your commandments, what will happen then? I'll be like that tree. Because it's not saying, you know, be obedient so that, you know, I'm feeling down and I have to do this. We look like Christians that sometimes. I'm a Christian. Just have to be obedient. You know? This world is bad. Christian life is hard. No, God is saying, believe in my promises. Make the word truth in your heart. Rejoice in it. Delight in the law of the Lord. There's promises that we don't even know about. What happened to Peter? Oh, Peter, I just looked at you and I said, Peter. Anyways. I thought for a moment while I was preparing, yo, Peter, I like Peter. I'm going to name my son Peter. You know, I've had many sons as I was preparing. I had Moses. And, anyways, there's so many great people in the Bible. But Peter, now I totally forgot what I wanted to say. Peter's amazing. It left me completely, like I don't even know. Anyways, make it true in our hearts. I got it. Like when Peter was obedient and believed, what happened? There was a great catch. There was such a great catch that they had to call the other people. Hey, come help us. The nets are breaking. Now, I don't know much about nets, but they don't break easily. I don't know, you know, how those fishes got into those nets, but it was massive. God saying, be obedient and believe in my promises. Why do we think it's just I have to be heavy with us all the time? If I say to you that, you know, be anxious for nothing. In all things through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to me. And what then? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your minds and your heart. I mustn't be anxious. Lord, I don't want to be anxious. But I don't believe that if I give it to God, that the peace of God will come. I must expect it. I believe in your word, Lord. I don't just follow it and don't be anxious. Come on, Marichan, don't be anxious. Get these things off you, you know? God is saying, don't be anxious. Praise me, give me thanks. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your mind and your heart. Thank you, Lord, for that peace. Does it make more sense? Am I getting somewhere? Just say amen. Great. When I was in Cape Town, Lindiwe, a very good friend of mine, would sit in front. Like, she's sitting there, she's like from Zimbabwe. And she'll sit there, like, watching me, you know. And every time she agrees, she's like, amen. Amen. I'm like, yes. Okay, let's go on. Amen, yes, let's go on. You know, when people say amen, at least you feel you're not talking nonsense so much. Amen. Yeah. I don't know if that was a nonsense part there. Let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 5 to 6. By faith, Enoch, I don't know how to say it in English, was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Beautiful. We can get so much out of those two verses. But what I want to point out is like God is looking for our faith. He wants us to believe in him. You know, there's many people in the Bible that messed up, like David. But he just believed in God and his promises. Abram, he just believed in God and his promises because he knew who God was. How do we know God? Through the word. It's like we're going in circles here. But this is important. Mark 8, 16 to 21. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. This is the disciples. They were in the boat with Jesus. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said to him, 12. And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And I said to him, 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? Again, so much in the scripture. But what I want to point out is these disciples have been walking with Jesus. They have been casting out demons. They have been praying for people, seeing them get healed. They have heard all the Lord's teachings. But still, when they got hungry, they're like, oh, we don't have bread. What does Jesus say to them? Guys, are your hearts hardened? You're obedient to everything that I say to you, but you don't believe. You don't believe in my word, that my word is true. Do you not see, Lord says to them. I want you to see. And I feel God wants us to unharden our hearts, if there's a word like that. He says, open your hearts. My word wants to transform you. Don't just be obedient to my word. Believe it. That when I said that I loved the world so much, I mean it. And that includes you. You know what? So many of us struggle with the fact that Jesus loves us, that God loves us. Go meditate on that scripture. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It's funny, we don't want to talk about that scripture because we say it so much. I'm like, say it more. For God so loved the world. You can put your name in there. For God so loved Don. For God so loved Kaya. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Make it alive in your heart. Believe it. We're talking about it. Sorry, at our small group the other night, about John the Beloved. How he just knew that God loved him. And we're like, yeah, he's arrogant, you know? The disciple who Jesus loved, he writes it. I'm like, he got something. God loves me. The word says so. And not only does the word say so, but the Spirit makes it alive for me to believe it. Ask the Spirit through the Word of God to come and transform your heart through His Word. And it's scary what's happening then. That when I read the Word, guys, I have to stop every verse and repent. Or I have to stop every verse and start praying. I have to stop every word and say, Lord, this is incredible. How have I never seen this? Thank you, Lord. I want to be like that. Teach me. Show me. Anyways, I'm getting distracted. So I spoke about why do we read the word is to know God, right? To know Jesus. There's a second reason why we read the word. And that is to know the purpose for the church. Now this got me a bit. Especially in the Gospels. Now what is the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We call the Gospels. Why? Because they preach the good news all the time. That's what gospel means. The good news, what does it mean? Anyone? What's the good news? Jesus died for us. It's good news, by the way. But we go around and like, you're going to hell. No, people want to hear the good news. It's good news that Jesus died for us. Okay? It's not bad news. It's good news. But the Gospels, especially, God shows us how we should operate as a church. Because we're in the Gospels, we see how Jesus walked the earth. And you know what? God wants us to walk like Jesus. We are disciples of Jesus. I like the word apprentice better. You know? Because like, you want to know that person. You want to spend time with that person because you want to become like that person. And what does the word even say? That you will do greater things than Jesus did. Do we see that in the church? No. Not in my life. And I think what God is saying to us today is like, thank you, church, for being obedient to my word. But you have to start believing it. You have to start believing that what Jesus did there, God wants to do through the church. I cannot work with you if your heart is hardened and you don't allow my word to transform you through my spirit. The spirit gives life. It's the spirit that shows us the word. It's the spirit that we allow to come and transform us. You know, and maybe you're sitting here and you're like, no, I do what Jesus did. That's where I usually react. First thing I say, I do this. Aha, got it. Christian number one. No, then Jesus says to me last week, okay, we're going on campus. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to witness to people. You know what? My first reaction, oh no. How do we feel if we have to share the good news of someone? Do we just know it in our minds? Or is it in our hearts? Have we allowed the word into our hearts? For me, no. Maybe a little. Maybe just the beginning. But no, I realized it. I stand in front of someone and I can tell them everything about who God is. But is there anything in my heart going on? Not really. Maybe 2 years ago, I said to the Lord, Father, I don't have a heart for the lost. You know what Jesus did? He wept over Jerusalem. I said to him, Lord, I don't have that. If Jesus wept for his people to come to him, shouldn't I be crying constantly for people to come to Jesus? Why do I want people to come to Jesus? I couldn't even think of an answer. I was like, what will I say? How will I convince someone to come to Jesus? Why was it like that? Because I had the knowledge in my head, but I haven't allowed it into my heart. And God, when you ask him those kind of questions, I think he celebrates. He's like, yeah, you got it, girl. Ask me these questions. I want to reveal it to you. I want to come and make my word alive in you. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. I want you to do the same. Go preach my word. Don't be ashamed of my gospel. This is good news. Another one. Jesus had compassion on the people. I'm just like, man, just get over yourself. Look in what mess this is. That's not compassion. I can get angry at the enemy, but have a compassion on the people that is being lied to, that are being, you know, deceived. I said, okay, Lord, I don't have compassion. Please pray that. It's amazing. God comes and he says, I'll do it in your heart. Allow me. Allow me in to transform your heart with my word. You know what? Ask Ellie. I cried this week. This one guy, we're witnessing to him. Ooh, something with my nose. Sorry. We're witnessing to him and at first he said, I don't believe. And then it came out other stories and I said to you, brother, can I pray for you? Sitting there smoking his cigarette. Very cool. He and his buddy. I start praying for him, but I cannot pray because I'm crying so much. I'm just weeping. Now I want to cry. I'm just like, because God touched my heart, not my mind, for this guy. I allowed God's word into my heart. I said to him, I'm sorry. I think you must think, what a weird chick. Like she can't even pray for me. She's just like sobbing. You know what? But God says, I want to do it in your hearts. You know? unharden your hearts. Yes, be obedient to me, but believe in me. Believe in me that I can transform, that my word is true. Church, arise. The world, I'm telling you, we saw it this week, is looking for God. Every person is looking for God. No one said to us, no, don't talk to me now. No one, not one. People are searching for God, but you know what? People are not stupid. They know when we're operating from our minds and not from our hearts. They're looking for the real stuff. And God is saying, we can be the real stuff because we believe in the real Jesus, who has the real word, who can transform our hearts. How cool is that? We don't have to do much, guys. We just need to believe. I love that scripture, and I think I skipped it somewhere along the line. Mark 1, verse 14 to 15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Do you know, since God gave me this word, until now, even this morning, I read believe in me so many times. I was like, Lord, how have I missed this? It's almost in every second verse, God is saying, believe in me. Believe in me. Believe in my word. Believe in the good news. Believe. Believe that I'm coming back. Jesus is coming back. And that part, hits me. You see, pray for compassion. Because there's people that don't know God. And Jesus is like, go tell them the truth. Don't be ashamed. Don't be with your mind. Take it to your heart. And you know what? God is like, you're going to catch those fish, guys. You're going to catch those fish. But do it with your heart. Because if you do it with your minds, it's not going to last. I want you to catch the fish. I love what Jesus says to Peter after they've caught all those things. And Peter's like, Lord, I'm a sinful man. How can you do this to me? And God's like, no, man, don't be afraid. I'm going to make you fishers of men. You're going to catch men. Now, I heard the one pastor says, don't worry, we're not going to bribe you. But God wants us as his church to arise and go catch those people. Guys, the harvest is ready. It is so ready that it's scary. Walking on this campus, I'm like, yo. If we get people and we just start evangelizing, they will plant a church in a month. We'll do it. A big church. Ask Denji. Just like yes. People are ready and they're searching for God. We're going to end off with this. Jesus gets crucified. I don't have the scripture there, sorry. Jesus gets crucified. He gets raised from the dead. He walks the land again. And the disciples see him once, and they see him twice. And the third time, Jesus again meets them at the boats. But this time, Simon Peter decided the previous night, oh, let's go for a catch, guys. You know, for me also, if I don't know what to do, I go to what I'm used to. So Peter, Jesus crucified, we don't really know what to do now. Let's go catch some fish. You can go read it in John 21, 20 somewhere, 22 there. So they, the whole night again, are busy catching fish, but they don't catch anything. And so they see someone walking there at the shore, and it's Jesus, but they don't know it yet. They don't recognize him. And Jesus said to them, throw your nets to the other side. Do you know that story? They throw the nets to the other side. What happens? Again, they catch enormous amount of fish. This time the nets doesn't break. That for me, I'm like, Lord, what happened there? You know, that's a miracle. Because the first time, God said, let me just show you that I'm even bigger than you thought. Now I love what Peter does. The first time he's like, oh, sinner me. All this fish, Lord, how can you let this miracle happen to me? God says to him that time, it's not about the fish. It's about me. Follow me. Believe in me. Don't believe in the miracle. Don't believe in me for what I'm going to do. Believe in me for who I am. What does Peter do that time when they caught the fish again? He realized that's Jesus. And I love what he does then. He jumps into the water and he starts swimming to Jesus. I love that man. Can I just say it again? He jumps in the water and he says, Lord, I'm coming. You know, the other guy gets the fish, gets onto the land. He's just like, I'm coming. I cannot believe it's you. I'll jump in this cold water and swim to you. And Jesus says, Peter, go get a fish there. I've prepared a little fire here for you. I've got some bread. I'm going to eat with you. Let's have breakfast. And then Jesus tells him, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's like, yes, Lord, you know I love you. I can just see him. Yes, Lord, of course. You know? Taryn, I just thought of you for that moment. Like, you were all like, yeah, let's do this. You know, Peter's like, yes, Lord, you know. And he asked him three times. The third time, he's like, Lord, you know I love you. You know my heart. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So the Lord is giving him commandments, isn't it? But out of his love for the Lord, because he believes in him. But then Lord says to him, and this is profound for me. He ends off, he says, and follow me. God's like, yes, I want you to be obedient. Yes, I want you to love me. But keep on following me. And you know what's funny about that is Jesus went up to heaven after that. I don't think, you know, he said to Peter, follow me into heaven. But follow me for who I am. Keep your eyes on me. Peter, I'm going away, but keep your eyes on me. Follow me. They always say, preacher says, this is the last point, but this is really the last point. This week somewhere we were praying and God showed me a picture. You know when you tune a guitar, and Don will know now, and Pam, then you've got that thing and it must be in the middle. So it goes there and then it comes into the middle, or it goes there and then it comes into the middle. And God said to me, align yourself again with me. Tune your hearts with me for my word to transform you. For my word to be true. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, impossible. I almost want to challenge you and ask the Lord for a scripture. Ask the Lord and say, Lord, I want to believe this scripture. I'm standing on it. I want to believe it. Maybe you're struggling with something. You know what? One pastor said, when people struggle with something, he always tells them, go find it in the Bible. And when they don't come back to tell him about it, he know that they weren't really looking for an answer and not from the Lord anyways. But when someone comes back and said, I found it, then he knows they truly want to be healed. They truly want to be delivered. They truly want to conquer this thing. So I'm going to tell you, go read the word. Made it active in your life. Let God transform you. Our theme for the next year is be one as I and the Father are one. When I think about it, I say to the Lord, impossible. Oh, I did say that. I said to the Lord, it's not possible. How do you want us as a church to be one as you and the Father are one? That's amazing. That's glorious. God says to me, believe in my word. Because I said so, it is true. And it will happen. Do we believe it? Or do we just want to be obedient? Because being obedient is like, I can love you, Derek. But do I believe that God can make us one? You know why? For His glory to be manifested among us. And He says it. He says that if we are one, that same glory that's with Him and the Father will be in us. He wants to do it. But do we believe it? He wants us to believe. He wants you to believe. Because He loves you, guys. He loves me. He's not saying believe me so that I can whack you on this earth and, you know, make your life miserable. That little picture I saw, this little thing that's coming out of the ground. Some of us feel that people are just tramping on us all the time, and then we have to try and get up again, and then people come and they step on us again. We feel so vulnerable. God is saying no. When Jesus died, He came to give us life and life in abundance. He said, I am your provider. I am your protector. I am your Father. Lord, I believe that. Let me realign and make it active in my life. Transform my heart that I believe in that word so that I don't feel like people are trampling on me the whole time. But I believe your word. God says, I want to look out for you. I want to protect you. But you have to believe it to make it true in your life. And you know what? My friend asked me yesterday, because I just quickly tell her, she's like, but Marichan, how do I believe? You're just making this heavy for me. You know? I said, read the word. The Holy Spirit will do it. If you want the word to transform you, the Holy Spirit will do it for you. Amen. What is that scripture? Oh, how do we get faith? By reading the word. By hearing the word. I'm like, yo, this God, you're just drawing me to the word all the time. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are, and that you are great and gracious and kind and merciful and magnificent and ruler, Lord, over heaven and earth. Father, thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, and He said, the kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe. Father, the kingdom was at hand because He is the kingdom, because in His kingdom there's no sin. But there's light and there's life, Father, and you have called us, you have saved us so that we will be that light, Father, so that where we go, your kingdom advances. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that we will have a desire again to believe your word, to stand on your word, Lord, to walk in your word, to walk like Jesus did,